I'm speaking with Fred Tomosky, who is one of the certified rope tow operators. And Fred, I wonder if you would describe the basic setup of the rope tow. In other words, how it worked.
Okay, there is also another person, Jack Hopkins, who's still with the club, and he was my best friend, and at first, when I was in the Navy, he got me started up there. The rope tow consisted on a lower slope, originally, of about a half a mile of rope tow that was on a gentle slope and went down into a lesser slope in a valley, and we would go up and sometimes size down the dying summer ferns that were in this area with very short grass. The rope tow consisted of a Model A engine like I had in 1929, and it was mounted on a stand, and they used as I could tell, they used some of the original wheels for the actual driving of the rope tow, and it was on the upper end of the rope tow, and was partway back from the very maximum end of it on the maximum upper part of the slope, and there was wheels at the lower end, and it was operating just about like any normal rope tow would be. You could use gloves or a rope tow clamp, and I assisted in finishing up the warming hut that was there. You had to herringbone in about a half a mile from the last road position at Cuyamaca, and we were on the north side, northeast side, and they told me that it was at about 5,500 feet. And
was the warming hut, that was the one that was that was about 1940 then, is that correct?
I don't remember its date.
Uh-huh.
But I first arrived in San Diego in the Navy, and I thought I was being shipped overseas, and instead I was being held on the naval training base for a future dental laboratory because I was a dental technician. And it was probably 1943 when I arrived there, and I was reading or hearing on either on the newspaper or the radio that there was snow in the Laguna Mountains, and of course I didn't even know we had any mountains down here. And so I thought, my God, I wonder if there's any skiing down here. So I called the newspaper and said, is there any skiing in San Diego? And they said, yes. I called the sports department, and they said, yes, there's a San Diego ski club, we believe. And so they gave me the telephone number of someone in the San Diego ski club. And so I called them, and they said, yes, indeed, they had a rope tow in the Cuyamacas. And so the next time I drove north to Oakland, I brought my car back down here, which was a 39 Chevrolet, and I did have a ski rack on top from going to Norton, and I had old flat bridges. And so I brought them back with me. And
they were a longer ski.
They were usually the length was judged to be as high as you could reach over your head, and it's like 6'9" or some such number.
Uh-huh.
And then I brought my stuff down here, and Jack Hopkins was introduced to me, or I got his telephone number or something. And he's still with us now. And so I had this Chevy that was in pretty good condition and so forth. And then later, as time went by, they began to certify the operators of it for Sundays. And so I got to be a certified operator and had a key to the engine. And because I was a dental technician, sometimes you could advance your work or retard it. And so there was another dental technician, Tony Tenbrook, and there was a Dr. Carlson, and there was another fireman who was a brother of Tony Tenbrook. And we all kind of had flexible hours that we could either work ahead by working a couple of nights ahead of time and get our work caught up and take a day off in the middle of the week. And so the club decided that if you had five people that were able to ski, the tow could be operated. So we took advantage of the fact that our snows don't last very long up there, and if it's snowed on a Saturday and Sunday and kind of finished up on a Monday, why, I could check with Les Epstein at the Lindbergh Field weather station, and we also would check with Mount Miguel, and sometimes one of the other guys would call somebody up in the Quilmac area, some store or something, and we'd decide, Tuesday or Wednesday is going to be great, and then we'd all decide which day we were going to go up. And so five of us would go up in my Chevrolet, and then we could have a whole day of skiing without anybody else up there.
That sounds great.
It's really something.
Did you, were the roads paved at that point to, the Quilmac area?
Beg pardon?
Were the roads paved to the Quilmac area?
Normally they were open, and by the time we went, often the road was clear and non-icy, and there were some kind of risky times coming back late in the afternoon sometimes when the snowbanks on the side of the road on a shady north curve or something, and the rain, the water would run across the road, and you'd have icy conditions, but we just drove carefully, and of course I always had chains, but I don't remember ever having to actually put chains on to go skiing.
I see. Did you use the fire road as a partial access to the ski area, or did you use...
That was probably true, but I don't actually remember that part of it.
Okay.
I know we went as far as we turned into Quilmaca Park, something like a recreation area, and either we parked at the most northeastern point there, or perhaps we went up a little fire road. I don't think the fire road was involved. I think the fire road was actually the point at which you had herried and blown up to get to it, because there was a road that did go up there, and so it was probably the last point was the recreation area that was paved in a kind of a park area and probably benches and stuff like that.
Kind of where the park is now then.
Yeah, and some guys had skins and the rest of us would herringbone up, and it was just so beautiful going up that narrow road. The various pine trees, and especially the spruce, they just look like a top-notch tree that you'd buy for Christmas, and here they are all freshly endowed with white snow on them, and you're the very first people going up there. Occasional snow falling off the tree branches, and you're the very first ones up there, just pure purity and beauty.
Yeah, that's a great description.
Yeah, right.
Well, thank you very much for sharing this information with us.
I can add one more thing.
Sure.
Later, Henry Mandolf and, let's see, oh gosh, that's Art Willick and others, we extended the rope tow up a considerably steeper part of the northeast side of the mountain. And Henry Mandolf was a member of the Sierra Club, and he got along extremely well with the forestry department. And this was before you had all the eco-freaks in the Sierra Club and all that. And he got permission and backing of the Sierra Club and the and the forestry department to log trees out and extend the ski area up much higher. And it was a pretty steep slope at that point. And I was not a good skier at the time, and I never did become one. But all the good European guys that were in our club, Henry Mandolf and Art Willick and his wife and many others, took advantage of that. But we actually extended the
rope
about a quarter of a mile, perhaps, maybe not quite that much, and
so that took a lot of work.
Guys had a real steep slalom kind of an area to start down on before they got on the mid area and then later the flatter area. And the amazing part of it was that the forestry department allowed us to take our chainsaws up there. I remember being one of the guys sawing one of those huge timbers. And it was just wonderful that we had such cooperation with them, and kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it would be hard to envision something like that happening.
It was not. And later the club kind of discovered mammoth, and I guess the guy that's got the tool, I forget his name, it begins with an M, had a portable tool that he would set up there. And so the club decided that's the direction to go. So they bought the Quonset hut, and of course I and others helped erect it. And
do you remember when the last time or the year where the rope tow was used last approximately?
It would have been I do not. It by that time I was beginning. Well, I was kind of busy with other stuff, and maybe my skiing dropped off a little bit. And I was trying to go into business and get a house and whatnot. I do not remember actually the date that the Quonset hut was erected, but I would say it was about the same time the Quonset hut was erected.
Okay, so the
ski slope there was abandoned, and
that was 1959. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it was right about 1950. Yeah, and that's when I moved into a house that I'm still in here in South Claremont. And I moved out and started my business in another location in 1950. And in 1951, we moved into our Claremont house. And about that time, I was reduced in skiing anyway. And we had by that time about three young children, so I was babies, so I was pretty busy.
Okay, well. Thank you very much, Fred, for this interview. I appreciate it.
And you should check with Jack Hopkins, too, because there might be things he can fill in.
Okay, I'll certainly
and
do
you
that.
You would remember the names of people who were important at that time.
Okay, I'll do that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Bye now.